Diana Spindola. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. His website is Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. And Rodney, you were talking about the Muslim warfare against the United States, and wouldn't it use the tactic of installing a Jewish puppet with an alleged Muslim background? After all, his mother was Jewish. Would it also include that?
Yeah, and the comparison again I was drawn is you'll hear people that have been so programmed through history talk about, oh, there's a Muslim war on America. And that's where I was going with this. And yet you'll bring up, well, now you see what was going on, you know, using that line of thought. Well, you know, in 1933, 3 months after, you know, the NSDAP became a coalition government in Germany, you have on the front page of the New York Times, Judea declares war on Germany, and, you know, the Jewish World Congress said they were at war with Germany and was going to engage in boycotts and other actions. And so they were actually in a state of war, the German nation. So, you know, from the German national point of view, they had to address the situation of an enemy alien population in their nation. And you bring that issue up, and it's just, you know, it's like deer in the headlights. They can't, these people have been so programmed to this, you know, bogus and artificial history that's been taught since 1945 as to what was actually taking place both in the Weimar period and what the National Socialist government, which was essentially the return of the German government, of a government in Germany under German control, because Weimar was essentially, Germany was being operated by foreign interests. And that's the best way I can describe it, and that's essentially why I call Weimar America Weimar America. America has become a government operated by foreign interests. We're being operated by, in the interest of international banking. Our culture and arts have become decadent. You see now, if you go back today in Germany, for instance, as it was under Weimar, Germans are taught or required to think in terms of being Europeans and not Germans. Well, that started under Weimar. They started that rubbish. They started pushing that under Weimar. Think of ourselves as Europe. Let's get over the war, meaning World War One, and think of being Europeans instead of being Germans. They started pushing that. You know, the League of Nations was the first attempt at the United Nations, and let's all just be one. This egalitarian rubbish that is absolutely discredited. We see this in the United States. You'll see these cultural Marxists say, I'm a global citizen. I'm not an American. We should be global. You know, we should be global citizens. We now see teachers, you know, we're saying we're not going to say the Pledge of Allegiance that might offend other cultures. We're seeing the exact playbook played by the Weimar Marxists in the United States, except the only difference is the people that are doing it now are the second generation or the third generation, actually, from the what I would call the Weimar cast-outs. You know, they all got kicked out of Germany, rightfully so, and they all came to New York and L.A. You know, got the West Coast and the East Coast, and the two epicenters that seem to drive the agenda, and in terms of money, and Washington always prostitutes itself to New York and L.A. in terms of culture and money. And beginning in 1964 or 65, they came out of the closet in full force in terms of the Immigration Act, where they made the conscious decision to change demographically this nation. They made the conscious decision to come out of the closet in terms of the racial policies on desegregation, on forced integration, telling people they will integrate, they will be people whether they want to or not.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. We do need to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. His website is Worldview Foundations. That is WVFoundations.org. And basically what you're saying is Roosevelt's administration was filled with communist Jews in Washington, and then you had Jewish lawyers in New York in the financial district, while Hollywood was composed of many of those German Jews who also contributed to the moral decay of that nation, correct?
Well, I would say they were Jews that had lived in Germany, because when push comes to shove, they reject they're Jews. That's just they are. But you're absolutely the elements you have absolutely correct. And why they came to the United States is the United States provided them the best avenue next to Weimar to do what they do best. It's interesting. Communists and Marxists always have a fixation with Germany. There's another reason why the United States is so attractive is that the political system in the United States gives them the ability to do exactly what they do best and gives them the best opportunity, because money drives the United States political system. Need I say two words? Sheldon Adelson out of Las Vegas, the billionaire, zillionaire Jewish casino mogul who, threw about $20 billion into Newt Gingrich's failed campaign is now put about $20 billion into Romney's campaign. And, of course, with the Citizens United ruling, these donors of these PACs, you don't know who they are. And they much say that Jewish money interests were doing the same thing in Weimar. They were intriguing and manipulating the German legislation secretly with money and never revealing revealing themselves, and a lot of it never came to light until the NSDAP came in and threw open the books and see who and revealed who was getting what payoffs and such, and actually prosecuted a number of German politicians, and then of course Jewish politicians, and of course a lot of them just fled the country, including a couple of former German chancellors who ended up in London and in the United States. But the United States provided a great opportunity, more so than France and England. So I will say that, you know, there's this big, this propaganda that, you know, there was just Germany was rife with anti-Semitism and it was born with the NSDAP, and that is factually incorrect. Jewish banking interests, Jewish interests in general, had been putting the screws to European nations for years and years and years. Poland had suffered immensely under Jewish practices for years and years. And there wasn't a lot of sympathy there, nor was there in France per se, but the United States was quite the opposite. There was already a significant Jewish presence and business presence in New York and Hollywood. And as I said earlier, jobs were waiting for them with open arms, and they went right to work, laying the foundation for what would become, like I say, the birth of Weimar America. They essentially came out of the closet in about 1965. They were distracted. The war, they had other things to do. They were hell-bent on the destruction of National Socialist Germany for a lot of reasons. And let me digress here for a little bit. National Socialism, there was this marriage of convenience between the Jewish interests and the Marxist interests and capitalist interests, both Jewish and Gentile. National Socialism was a threat to those interests because it was a self-sustaining political worldview that did not need Jewish banking or international banking money middlemen, i.e. nations could trade and engage and become self-sufficient without these Mitt Romneys. I'm going to use that as an example. You don't need a middleman to inflate, to engage in price inflation on goods and services for countries to barter and trade. Germany fostered a tremendous trade relationship with Latin American countries under the NSDAP that was non-existent under Weimar. They engage in this, and they used the barter system. They traded machinery, for instance, with Latin American countries for coffee and other materials. That was non-existent under Weimar, because Weimar was busy, making international bankers rich because they had, you know, they were not serving the German interests. This system absolutely scared the banking community, the special interests, will say, the Mitt Romneys, to death. And so, you know, they had no problem doing the bidding of each other, doing each other's bidding. So that was a marriage of convenience. So the first goal was smash National Socialism and National Socialist Germany and make sure that it doesn't take root anyplace else. And that's why you've seen 75 years of demonization of anything National Socialist. They can't allow that political system to take root anyplace because it's bad for business. Then there's the Cold War. Of course, the United States got distracted, you know, with the Soviets, who the United States had rescued. You know, here, you know, I'm going to digress a little bit more just for 30 seconds. The German army was 12 miles from the Kremlin. You had a white Western Christian army ready to topple Joseph Stalin, the evil empire, as Ronald Reagan would say 60 or 50 years later. And what does Roosevelt do? He rescues communism. Kind of interesting, and that's for another show maybe later. So they were distracted with that. But in the 1960s, you had the perfect storm. It really came out of the woodwork. And yes, we know for a fact that Roosevelt's administration and even part of Truman's administration, they were full of communists. They were full of Jewish interests. We've seen what Morgenthau proposed to do with Germany. And essentially, that's what they did, Deanna. The Morgenthau plan, for all intents and purposes, they did that. They engaged in cultural genocide. The German nation was fundamentally transformed from what it was to something that is basically unidentifiable today.
Right. So basically, the politicians that were led by the Jews also, of course, took over the military, the U.S. military. Now, one of our listeners said, Joe, said, didn't the U.S. Army occupy Disney Studios immediately after Pearl Harbor and force them to make anti-German films?
Yes, they did. And Walt Disney was very upset about that because, again, the Disney Studios it was a money situation, and Disney Studios at that period of time was carrying a lot of debt, and they'd only had two major successes going into the war. They'd had a significant amount of revenue on their balance sheet from Germany. Again, I stressed that earlier, and they'd won the Academy of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Dumbo.
So the Jews managed the politicians, and the politicians managed the military, and the wars that we fight are basically in behalf of the Jews.
Well, you know, some of the best statements to corroborate that statement comes from none other than U.S. soldiers themselves and generals. And there's a myriad. I'm trying to look over my bookshelf now. I'm in my study at some of the titles, and I can't quite see them, but I'd be happy to email and post them on my website. But there's some great quotes from generals themselves to that effect. And it makes folks uncomfortable on our opponent's side, but it is what it is. General Patton was quite vocal about having to deal with, change his policies as military governor of Bavaria to accommodate these political issues on these what they call Jewish refugees, who he did not have a high regard for.
No, he didn't. He was in fact, they just made him literally nauseated at times.
Yes. There's another question too. My grandfather was in World War II in the European theater, and he would often hear Americans of, quote, Jewish descent get nauseated as well at the way that they would encounter these Jewish refugees, and he's like, those aren't my people, was some of the quotes that he would hear.
Right. I'm just finishing reading Onward, Christian Soldiers by Donald Day. I was just amazed at some of their living conditions, and yeah, that is what they choose.
Can I give you just a couple of teasers again? I want to go back. I said earlier, Deanna, that this 1932 emergency program, the NSDAP, is so relevant today. And
right,
like I said, the NSDAP was 50, 60 years ahead of their time, but they had a provision in on ending corruption. And you know how we go in, we've been talking about and debating in the United States today about civil servants and politicians. Well, in 1932, in lobbying, the NSDAP proposed civil servants having no participation in any way with any company with which their offices have business relations. They proposed that in 1932. You know, that hasn't even been a hot topic in the United States until recently. And then here's another one. You know how we go to the doctors and the doctors say, oh, don't worry, we'll give you a sample. And we see the little pharmaceutical company and they're peddling his wares trying to get the doctor to write prescriptions. And there's always been discussion, do the doctors get kickbacks for prescribing this drug regardless of the price or whatever, as opposed to that one? NSDAP in 1932 wrote a provision in their proposal, call it a platform. Doctors may have no connections to pharmaceutical factories or other concerns that manufacture medications or health products. They wrote that, Deanna, in 1932.
Amazing. And just think, if that NSDAP policy, that plan, that economic plan, were used by every country in the world, imagine how everything would be totally different.
Yeah, I mean,
everything would not be based on profit.
Yeah, and they were not anti-profit by any means. They were in terms of being fair to the working German. And I was going to go through this, you go through this step by step. It's just amazing, how far ahead they were in providing, you say this a level playing field per se, but you get into their agricultural proposal. This is why Weimar, they went to great lengths to try to stifle the NSDAP as a party.
Right. All right. We do have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your two-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. heartandbody.com.
Rodney Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org, and you are going to post that document, the emergency economic plan?
Yes, I'll post it on my website, and I'll email it to you, Deanne, if you're interested in posting it on your site as well. It's very revealing. Let me give you another perfect one that's a direct parallel between what was happening in Weimar and what's happening today. And then remember, now I used a key date. The Weimar, what I would call the Weimar bureaucracy that came to the United States really came out of the closet in 1964-65. And remember, 1964, we had the Immigration Act of 64. That was sponsored by Ted Kennedy. It was drafted by Jews on his staff. Jews are German last names. But let me share with something here. Under Weimar, you started to see a huge influx of foreign workers, cheap workers, that were allowed to come into Germany under the Weimar government. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Sounds familiar what's happening in the United States today. The NSDAP, now here you have, employment issues in Germany at the time, and there were significant employment issues among Germans even during this golden period that they called it, when essentially Weimar had artificially bought what they called peace and prosperity between 1923, 1924, and before the collapse in 1929, when they had just hawked everything. They pawned the railroads and everything else, as they said. But here is a direct quote from this economic plan. And again, this was written during the Weimar period. It was written in 1932. It says, National Socialism demands that the needs of the German workers no longer be supplied by Soviet Slavs, Chinese coolies, and Negroes. National Socialism is determined to eliminate the barriers between the cultural level of German workers and German farmers. Therefore, import restrictions must be implemented. The result will be work for the German worker and work for the German farmer. National Socialism opposes the liberal world economy as well as the Marxist world economy. Let me stop there real quick, because I recently got into a debate as to National Socialism versus this new right. Now there, and my position has been that National Socialism was not conservative or Marxist. It was clearly a new political philosophy, and that statement in their platform that they introduced in 1932 clearly points that out. But they go on to state that the German worker must be protected and that policies must be put in place to do so. Isn't that a novel idea? Now today, now the arguments in Weimar at the time was that Germany must be open to free trade and labor and such and not be protectionist. Don't we hear those arguments today? The same playbook, the exact same playbook, the exact same line of thinking. And, you know, this whole concept of free trade was, you know, you go back to the 1960s, you started hearing this, you know, this ludicrous argument of free trade versus unilateral trade. And, of course, you know, it has devastating impacts on the American worker, and of course shuttered our plants. Now, thank God that the NSDAP came in when they did, because what would have happened is, you know, you always hear Krupp Steel. Of course, you don't have Krupp Steel in Germany anymore. But it would have been gone had Weimar lasted, had there been no NSDAP victory in 1932-33, had Weimar continued, you know, Germany would have been a vassal state much sooner than it was. And of course, the Soviets would have been sitting in Spain, and probably a few other Western European nations. But there's another clear example. The NSDAP, as early as 1932, was against foreign labor in favor of the nation's labor. They were for protection of the German worker, just like we should be for protection of the American worker. Now, there's a couple of political parties in Great Britain right now that has coined the term, I think it's Great Britain, British jobs for British workers, and they're just getting, you know, festooned with racist, you mean term racists, and all sorts of nasty names. But, you know, I would say, you know, so what? You know, so what?
Yes, indeed. Oh, this is very fascinating. We do have a caller. Let's take a call. Let's take Werner in Canada.
Good afternoon, Dan, and it's really refreshing what your guest is speaking about. And one thing it especially got my attention when he mentioned about the barter system, even in the concept of international trade. Basically, the barter system, it cuts out the middleman.
Who is usually Jewish.
And the middleman, the only way the middleman can exist is in the money system, the money changers.
Werner, may I ask you to codify something? Almost all the time, does not the middleman always greatly inflate the price of whatever is being traded or sold?
Basically, you know, I look at it, when I just look at the context here, I immigrated here in 69 here to Eastern Canada from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time I understood it was a prosperous economy here on the in the northeast of the United States and here in eastern Canada, until they destroyed the self-sufficiency and the barter system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the economy took a nosedive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And wherever we see those kind of patterns repeating themselves, that's where countries and economies and societies go downhill.
All right, gentlemen, we do need to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Your You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
You know, babe, I've got to say, there's a whole passel of reasons I'm happy we bought our seed bank from Texas Ready.
Really?
Yeah. The one that makes me happiest is our salsa garden. Onions, jalapenos, fantastic tomatoes, cilantro.
I know, dear. You couldn't survive without your salsa.
Folks, Texas Ready helps you to thrive, not merely survive. Multiple kinds of heirloom tomatoes, onions, and peppers. Plus non-GMO corn, beans, peas, and vegetable varieties out the wazoo. With over 75 varieties, each Liberty Seed Bank has enough fruit, herbs, and vegetables to enable you to grow well over 2,000 pounds of food in your subdivision backyard each year. Order your bank today at TexasReady.net or come visit us at Glenn Beck's Restoring Love Conference July 26th and 27th. We'll be set up near the registration tables at the Arlington Sheraton. Go to TexasReady.net for more information. See you there.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Rodney Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org. And we still have Werner on the line. And we have some other callers. Yeah. So.
The point I wanted to make is the more money is being used as an intermediary in exchange of goods, the more we get the growth of a parasitic part of the economy that does not produce anything, but it just feeds on the productive members of society.
How profound.
Absolutely. Well, that's absolutely correct. And what the NSDAP's economics policy did was eliminated the artificial economy. And that's a big misnomer in history classes today and on purpose, is that the NSDAP was against free enterprise and was just another variant of socialism of the left, which is incorrect. Let me share with you, Deanna, and your listeners, the whole fundamental bedrock, the foundation of the NSDAP's economic program, and I'm going to contrast this with Weimar, by the way, was jobs. And here is the opening statement, what's the second paragraph. Their opening line says, unemployment causes poverty, employment creates prosperity. And they give some line about how important job creation is. Essentially, what they're saying is the greatest social welfare program is a job. They were fundamentally based on work. Then they go on and they say the brilliant economist maintains that we cannot work because we lack the means. This is nonsense. The less we work, the less we must be our means. The greater the unproductive waste, the destruction of our natural resources, the more we work, the greater our capital, and therefore the greater the results of our labor. Their whole, you go through this whole 30-page document, Deanna, it is all predicated on increasing jobs. They said, we have to do something. We don't get the 6 million unemployed back to work. We can't increase the social welfare programs. We just can't go out and raise taxes, which brings me to my next point. During Weimar, even when they had tremendous unemployment, Weimar was increasing taxes and sending the sheriff in Nottingham, to use an analogy, out to hammer people to collect taxes when people didn't have any money. The NSDAP, by the way, lowered taxes on the poor and on the working class people. And by the way, Weimar also did this, you know, Romney type thing. The more you made, the less you pay, which is kind of interesting. The NSDAP's tax policy was extremely fair. They lowered it where it needed to be lowered. The less you made, the less you paid. The more you made, the more you paid under their system. Under Weimar, the more you made, the less you paid, and the less you made, the more you paid. That was Weimar's tax policy. The NSDAP, it was reverse Robin Hood, actually, under Weimar. Very Jewish. But under the NSDAP, they completely retooled the tax system. Completely. And their entire economic program, as you read this document, was fundamentally based on job creation. Contrary to the popular myth, it was not based on rearmament, because Germany didn't actually get into the rearmament business until probably didn't in the full swing until about 1936, which was, you know, a good 3.5 years into. They were primarily based from January 33 to 36 on job creation, the Autobahn, public works projects, and essentially rebuilding and restructuring and consolidating the government. And finally, Deanna, this is an interesting and revealing plank in their platform from 1932. They're talking about the banking system. This is relevant today. Now, listen to this, Deanna. This will just take a couple of minutes. I know you have callers. Bank presidents receive hundreds of thousands in pay for the supposedly vastly important work. Each member of the board of directors is usually meets only once a year, but often receives tens of thousands. The responsibility of bank presidents and boards of directors is shown by the fact that the state had to pay $1.5 billion in marks for their foolish speculations and bad investments. That means that the Weimar government was bailing out Jewish-owned banks. And by the way, during Weimar, a majority of the banks were under the thumb of Jews. Bank presidents do what they want, and the state pays the bills. Isn't that a prolific statement from 1932? And then you go down one more. As a result of state support since July 1931, through the Reich covered $1.5 billion marks of foolish speculation on the part of big banks with tax money. More than half the German credit bank system is already in the hands of the Reich as a result of what is essentially a bailout. Again, way ahead of the time. They were opposing bank bailouts. They were opposing basically privatizing profits and socializing the losses, which is what is done under Weimar America.
Yes, indeed. All righty. Werner, did you have another comment? Because we do need to move on.
Let's say I don't want to incite kind of a hatred against people of a different race. But we have to call a spade when there are predators among another race that are preying on the working people. Then we have to say it, and that's where it comes into play. I watched there a while ago The Eternal Jew, and right through the middle it shows the discrepancy that had developed between the income of the German people and of the especially the ones that had muscled themselves everywhere into German society and took on the key position. For example, at the time, by the end of the 20s, early 30s, before the National Socialists came to power, the average German family was earning roughly about 810 Reichsmark per year, whereas from the Jewish group, their average income was around 10,000 Reichsmark.
Big difference.
And those were not involved in productive work.
How true. That's a very good movie also. Okay, thank you so much for your contribution, Werner. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
All righty, let's take Bob in California. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Diana. I want to take a little objection to the your guest's comment about freedom. It seems like he has an anti-freedom mentality when it comes to free trade. Are you there,
No, free trade and freedom are two entirely different things.
Exactly.
Well, that's your opinion. Freedom is freedom. If I want to buy something from China or somewhere else and I'm free, I have the right to do that. Now, the mentality of the controlled trade, that's the union mentality, which allows you to charge more than something's worth and obviously end up bankrupting our country and running us out of business. In other words, if you hark back 50 years, we built the finest cars, had the finest economy. And now due to unionism and other controls over our trade, we're no longer in the game.
Thank you for making my point, though. Thank you for making my point, because 50 years ago, we did not have free trade. We made the best cars in the world. We had a higher standard of living. As a result of free trade, our manufacturing has been supplanted by cheap communist Chinese junk. I think you're making my case. I'm not against freedom.
No, you've got it wrong.
I'm against, I'll let you make your point. Now, let me make mine.
Okay.
I did not interrupt you. The the fundamental problem with free trade, particularly with regard to China and other countries, is people that negotiated those agreements did not negotiate those in the best interest of the United States, and there are huge imbalances. As a result, American manufacturing came out on the short end of the stick, and Chinese manufacturing, who ended up basically owning the United States both manufacturing and our bank note and our loans, came out on top. So we no longer manufacture hardly anything. You go to Walmart or any other store, everything's manufactured in China. Our unemployment rate, is astronomical. 48% of Americans pay no taxes, and in the same percentage receive some sort of government benefit. All of this can be tied to things like NAFTA and GATT and WTO and such. But you made my point.
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't make your point. You're covering the point. The point is the customer has the right to decide. The person who builds the best merchandise at the lowest price gets the business. Now, when I was
That's a red herring.
Red herring. Come on. Buy something, if you had two products,
are you saying that China can make the same quality of car as an American?
Let's wait a minute. If China doesn't make the same quality, would you buy it? Nobody in their right mind would buy it. I don't care. Don't blame China. Don't blame anybody. The person who builds the best
you're entitled to be a rabid libertarian. I'm a nationalist. I'm interested in the American interest.
You want to pass a law forbidding anyone from buying what they want. Is that what you're saying?
No, I do not.
Well, what are you talking about?
That was not my position. My position is American jobs should be protected first.
Why? Why do they need to be protected? They don't need to be protected.
Bob, do you have a job? Do you have children who are working? Who are you anyway?
I have a job. I own a business. I was raised in the Depression. I started selling magazines when I was 7 years old, and I was taught that you build a better mousetrap, and the world will be the path to your door. You join
China
the union, and you...
better. China steals patents. They steal intellectual property. They devalue their currency. They do not do anything. And second of all, I'm an anti-communist, first of all, and I don't think we should be playing around with communists.
In other words, you want to pass a law controlling what other people do. You do not believe in freedom. You believe in your judgment.
If you want to be a communist and trade with communists and do things contrary to the benefit of Americans, go for it. You're free to do that. I'm saying I oppose that. I oppose that. And what I'm saying is that we should engage in trade policies that protect American jobs and American manufacturing. And where I would do that, I wouldn't pass anything that says you can't buy anything from China, but what I would do is pass import tariffs on Chinese goods that don't meet the standards of American standards.
Exactly. All righty, let's take another call. Let's take Bill in Idaho.
Bless you, Diane. I appreciate everything that you folks do for the Republic every day. I was hoping that that message would resoundingly be heard throughout what's left of the Republic. Nonetheless, to say, I wanted to thank you for your guest, obviously, by chapter and verse, that he eloquently could outline this so hysterically, historically, and Larkian well. The question is, considering the times and a half times, and the fact that this is these are participants in international war crimes, murdering Christians day in and day out, or anybody else that they have an opportunity by victimology right to the county level, that ultimately, how is the history of the Republic to occur considering the control level that they would wish to purport, considering they've suffered three devastating defeats within the last 30 hours?
Well, I'm not sure I understand that three defeats in the last 30 hours.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
There were three manifest miracles that occurred within last 30 hours, but I'm not debating that part of the discussion. At a Nuremberg-ian level of an analysis here on a public lawful forum, Christian.
Okay, but did you have a question or a point that is relevant to
Yeah, I always do, don't I, Deanna? I always do. I'm not a broadcaster or a yourself. However, considering those times where there would even be intentioned non-lashing of lustrous justice, that somehow in the mechanics of your understanding of history or the mystery of histories, that we are, as the song goes, to pray our way out of this righteously and justly.
Let me try to take a shot at that question, and I think I understand the premise of your question. I think as Christians, we have a couple of duties. You see, I just quibbled with a prior caller, and I think that Christians have been far too passive, and we've allowed ourselves to be subjected to a lot of false narratives. You heard this bogus argument. You're against freedom if you're against free trade, which is absolutely bogus. No, I'm a nationalist. I will tell everybody I'm a nationalist. I say that publicly. I've written it in letters to the editor. Everybody in my town knows where I stand. That doesn't mean I walk around wanting to pick a fight or anything. Everybody respects my point of view, and I respect their point of view, but I'll not have words put in my mouth. As a Christian, though, I think that we need to do a couple of things. I think we need to do this as Christians. I think we need to do this as nationalists. First of all, we need to reclaim our history. Well, let me back up a little bit. I think we need to reclaim our children. I think as parents, we need to be deeply involved in the education and raising of our children and not turn that over to the state. My wife and I provide a private Christian education to our children, and we instill in them, you know, the deeply moral and Christian values that they will never get in a state indoctrination center. So one, I think Christians need to, one, prepare the next generation, you know, for what's to come. Two, we need to reclaim our history and our language, which has been hijacked by the so-called Judeo-Zionist Christians. I used to hear that the United States is a Christian nation, and I'm fine with that. I believe that, and I will fight that. Now all of a sudden it's Judeo-Christian nation, emphasis on the Judeo head of Christian. Where did that come from? That's only popped up in the last, you know, 10 years. And let me share with you a short quote that the late Hans Schmidt wrote. It was the last book he wrote. He wrote three excellent books. I believe he wrote this in 1991. But he refers to Jew speak, and he says the purpose of Jew speak is to give expression to the worldview of Judaism and to deprive us of the power to conceive or communicate contradictory thoughts and ideas independent of the Jewish paradigm. That's a powerful statement, and it's correct. Our history has been hijacked. Our religion has been hijacked. And I think it's time for Christian nationalists to stand up and say forcefully, no more.
And the term free trade is part of that Jew talk.
Oh, that's part of the Jew talk. It's part of their agenda. They did it in Weimar. They're doing it here. And enough is enough. It is not in America. In fact, free trade is anti-freedom. It takes our freedom to provide for our families, to have a livelihood. Let me tell you, under free trade, mom and dad have to work three jobs and our children are raised in daycare or on the streets. When we didn't have free trade, dad had a good job. Mom was home rearing the kids, and that's a good thing regardless of what the Judeo-seculars say. Families went on vacation. They had retirements. Everything was much better. I don't care what the prior caller said. He made my point when he talked about he made cars and everything.
He did. All righty, we do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back. Thank you, Bill, for your call.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Hey there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at slashpower123.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at slashpower123.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to slashpower123.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at slashpower123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's slashpower123.com.
Website is wvfoundations.org, and we have three callers on the line here. Let's real quick take Frank in Pennsylvania. Frank, welcome to the program. Frank? Do we not have Frank? Okay, let's go to John.
Yes, Diana?
Oh, yes, okay.
This is Frank from PA. Diana, a couple calls back, you had an individual saying he has a right to buy products in China. And that's called the free market. That's not free because in China, down there, and I've been to China. They use prison labor, forced labor, child labor. The Chinese government, when they have to fill their factories, when they burn down a set of workers, they trump up 100,000 people on false charges, throw them into prisons, and they have to produce and build stuff at literally 15 cents a day. And this was 10 years ago when I visited there. Anybody that thinks that they're buying stuff from China is supporting a free market, they're totally wrong. And the Chinese government also manipulates their currency. It's not allowed to flow freely on the market. So what is free about that, Diana?
Well, I disagreed with Bob also.
Well, I disagree, too. Thank you, dear.
Thank you. All right, let's take John in Pennsylvania. John?
My other Pennsylvania brethren has taken up some of the arguments against Bob. Bob's whole idea about the better mousetrap, he forgets that it's a false market when multinational corporations make policy through politicians. And Bob probably owns a business that's a benefactor of those policies. The better mousetrap idea fails because China isn't building a better mousetrap. They're building the only mousetrap. That's the only one we can buy. How many Chinese-made toaster ovens will you own in the next 10 years? Two, three, four, the quality lacks. So when he talks about a better mousetrap, we're not buying a better mousetrap. We're being trapped into buying only the mousetrap from China.
Very, very good point. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Joe, who is also listening, says the same Jews who own corporations usually run the unions. Let's real quick take John in Arizona.
Good day.
Hi.
I was listening to the conversation regarding free trade and so forth. I think that the caller should have been reminded that tariffs were an integral part in playing in this nation's development of its industrial revolution and the fact that it became preeminent in the world. And tariffs, if they were used today, and instead of policies like Rahm Emanuel under Bill Clinton promoting NAFTA and stripping us of our industrial heritage, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in today.
Okay. I would
also like to make another question, if I may. I just got through reading Sybil Edmonds' Classified Woman. And, of course, much of this story with Sybil Edmonds centered around state secret privilege and assassinations by our executive office. And I was wondering, when looking over Sybil Edmonds' website, which is a boiling...
You know, John, we're getting a little off topic, and we've run out of time, so I'm sorry. I'm sure it's a good book. Rodney, thank you so much for being on the program. We've got to have you back as soon as possible, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Deanna, for the opportunity.
All righty. Talk soon.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.